Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 10th of May 2022, Tuesday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 248. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of awareness and attention. Then we can have our heart and our awareness based meditation. We are off the light so that you can commence with the heart and our awareness based meditation. Just relax body and mind completely, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Just train your mind to develop this inner awareness and silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, but just relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness nature within. So this is the training to be aware. That's why we call it the awareness-based meditation, the four support that can bring about the awareness within is relax both body and mind, and relax into every mind state that arises, and then maintain awareness, just aware. Then this maintaining awareness need to be continuous for as long as you can, so that you are just aware without any thinking, without any thought process. Again, our bodhisattvas see whose heads, eye, and bodies whole. These are other bodhisattvas who give their heads, eyes, and body, as they are willing to perform that tayo dana parami, the gift of life, donation of organs and other things. The bodhisattvas mentioned above give out the wealth and inner wealth. Means not only materialistic outer wealth, even their own organs, the gift of life, they are willing to give as offerings or donation. That's why we now, the modern society, term it as you pledge your organ donation. The outer world refer to the possession. Here they give example of including wife and children. Then the inner world is this bodily flesh, their organ, their hands and feet. But they did not give the entire bodies. They only gave their flesh or their hand or feet. Not this bodhisattva gave their very head. Now this bodhisattva gave their very heads and eyes, their entire bodies. They are offered up most joyfully. If any living beings at all is in need of a head, they will give up their head. If they need eyes, they will give up their eyes. In fact, they will give their whole body or any part of them. Someone thinks that is idiotic. How can we give, or how can you give your own body to others? You think the bodhisattva are stupid? But they think that you are stupid. Why? In being able to give, seeking the utmost way, they are able to end birth and death. In not giving, you may feel that you are intelligent, but you will never be able to end birth and death. If you wish to end birth and death, you must imitate the great fearless spirits of these bodhisattvas who give up their bodies, heart and life to others, to the world. So this type of giving or dana parami at this level is not for normal people. That's why, especially non-practitioner, Even some practitioner, they may also be Buddhist, they may have doubt. Is it true? Can you go to the extent to give up everything, donate everything, including your own physical body, not only organs, limbs, and all those things? But in the Jataka story, there has been many examples of this type of giving. I remember there was once a bodhisattva to be at that time. He was still a bodhisattva. He saw a female tigress wounded, but he got many cubs that he need to feed. She cannot hunt for food. Then the bodhisattva knew if she can't hunt for food, she will die. And when she died, the cub will die. So there were conditions for her to have the understanding, and she just jumped down and offered her whole body to the tigress to eat so that she can recover and feed her cubs. So that was the extent. Then there was once the story of an arahant, I think a lady arahant. I think there was a man who liked her so much. He said, "I really love you and want to marry you." Then he said, "Which part of my body you love most?" He told her the eyes. The eyes were very beautiful. She just took out her eye, give it to her. Give it. So that one shocked the person. Then there are also many aspects of wisdom that we need to understand. Or cultivators of the way, especially great beings, to fulfill this perfection, to reach the pinnacle of this parami of Dhamma. Because to them, they have already transcend the understanding of the way, especially the second and third hallmark of winning. Not only do they have realized the true mind, the silent mind, the one that is without thought, who need. They have also realized no mark. There is no mark of a self, a personality, a egoic mind, a personal. They call it the permanent, unchanging entity within our form and mind. So, when there is no mark of a cell, they can make this type of decision to offer, to donate. But there must be causes and conditions behind. But to them, they have already penetrated. And also no mark of others, no mark of the way, no mark of Dhamma, no mark of existence, the phenomenal life, everything. So with this second hallmark of winning, they will know that life is not what you think. Empty nature, existence, no reality. Then finally, of course, when you have realized that nature which is beyond thought, beyond mind, the unconditioned nature, the oneness nature, so that one can only arise when the mundane mind has collapsed, then that nature shines. So that third hallmark is the true mind that is without any dwelling, is just that nature shine forth. And when you can leave that type of mind, you may have a form of mind, a physical and a mental. But that wisdom will enable you to have the understanding that your mind is now different. It's no more the mundane mind. It does not dwell anymore. So the mind that has no dwelling is very different. That it can see things clearly. It can penetrate the phenomenal and insight into phenomenal and realize a lot of things. That's why with all this understanding, the bodhisattvas, the great beings, they can perform this by offering. Yeah. So this is the understanding part that I explained a bit. Eh? Otherwise, based on what Xianhua has shared with you all, you may not fully understand. Eh? And some may even have that doubt behind. How can one go to that extent when you do the cultivation? Because when you hold on to the self, the entity, the atta, the ego, then the word, the thought, the question that has the I, how can one go to that extent? So all this comes from society, self-delusion, the lack of understanding. They give cheerfully. They don't give with anger or emotion or unhappiness. They don't say, so you are giving. Let's have a little contest. You give 10,000, I will give 20,000. You give 20,000, I will give 30,000. They are not competitive in their giving. On the contrary, they give happily and cheerfully. So this is just Xianhua's way of comparing. Why do they give? Because they are seeking the Buddha's way, means the supreme vehicle. Okay, so we finished the part on Dhanaparami. Then we go on to the next part of the sutta. Yeah, I was here, page 248. I jumped straight to here. That's why just now Sui couldn't locate this part. So now I will start on a new section of the sutta. This section of the sutta is where Manjushri start to deliver her explanation and understanding. Manjushri, I see royal monarchs who visiting those Buddha's court ask about the utmost way and then forsake their pleasant land. Palaces, ministers, concubines, and cut off their beards and hair, clothes themselves in Dhamma robe. Then there is this commentary part. The commentary says, Manjushri, wonderful virtuous bodhisattva, or wonderful virtue, should be virtue, not virtue. Virtue is not real. Virtue, bodhisattva. Then he say, I see royal monarchs. Means I also see kings, not just one king, monarchs in plural. But many of them visiting those Buddha's court. What are they doing? They are going off to visit the Buddha to ask about the utmost way, the supreme vehicle. They ask about the Supreme Buddha way. After they ask about it, the Buddha instruct them in the doctrine of suffering, emptiness, impermanence, and non-self. He said, everything in this world is bound up in suffering. So this one is a bit profound and penetrative. I may have to explain a bit. So the Buddha instruct them on the doctrine of suffering, is the Four Noble Truths, dukkha, the cause of its arising, means samudaya, then the cessation of suffering, nirodha, and finally is marga, the path that leads to the cessation. So when you penetrate the Four Noble Truths, then you realize the penetrative Four Noble Truths, which are truths that can make you noble one or enlightened one, then you will penetrate emptiness. Emptiness is sunyata. By the day I explained the Heart Sutta's deep meaning of emptiness. In the Heart Sutta is mentioned, form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Then form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. So are the other aggregates, the five aggregates, so Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. So this profound understanding or very penetrative wisdom within the Heart Sutta is difficult to comprehend. So that day at my house, that Sunday, I think, the sharing, when they came, I forgot which day, so it may not be a Sunday, it's a holiday, I remember. So I explained the three level of emptiness within the explanation. That one, I think there is a link which Jin Hao managed to edit from the recording by Sister Polian and the other one is who? Manyuan, yes. Manyuan and Polian. So both of them recorded with their handphone. Luckily they recorded it and it was very good. So if you go through that, you will understand the deep meaning of emptiness or sunyata. Why the sutta say form does not differ from emptiness and emptiness does not differ from form. Maybe I will explain it again in a very summarized way. Maybe don't have the time, the luxury of time here. So the first level of seeing is, of course, the Heart Sutta's famous quote. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. So to penetrate this, you need to penetrate dependent origination, which means the dwelling as taught by the Buddha, Paticca Samuppada or Itta Paccayata. Everything in this conditioned world is conditioned arising causal phenomenon. So before something arises, there was nothing. Then because of condition, things arise. There are the causes and condition behind. When the causes and condition come together, then it gives rise to something. It could be a phenomenon or a physical existence, like the block card or the table or any physical thing in nature, even our planet. So how does it arise? Take for example the block cut, the Buddha said. When you put the parts together, then it performs a function, you give it a name, then it exists already. That's why arise. This form exists. But originally, before the causes and conditions come together, it was empty. That's why form and emptiness, they are the same. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Then why do they say form does not differ from emptiness? Emptiness does not differ from form. So this second stanza is very beautiful. If we understand everything before creation, it was just empty space. And this empty space, if it is deep space, is really space, empty. But then, later on, like we know on this planet, there is an atmosphere. Because of the atmosphere, you can see there is air. There are gases inside. Atmosphere. Composition. And our planet, our atmosphere, we have very high percentage of nitrogen. Almost 80% is nitrogen. Then about nearly 20% is oxygen. Then the rest are rare gases. That's why it's not really empty. But we call it empty where we can't see. And we can't see, we cannot perceive, we call it empty. But the scientist knew you can empty, pump, and remove what we call the air inside. Then it becomes a vacuum. Then there is a vacuum. Our planet has a gravity. Then the atmospheric pressure can actually crush the container if it's not strong enough, if it cannot hold the empty space within. So originally, like this table, before the table arise, it was space. You can say emptiness. Then when you put this table onto that space, you call it a table. You forgot about the empty space. But the sutra say form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Then the second stanza, form does not differ from emptiness. The emptiness does not differ from form. And now you understand that form, the table, and the empty space, they occupy the same spot. That's why form does not differ from emptiness. And emptiness does not differ from form. So this is how you understand it, how you see it. That the other empty nature of form or phenomena or existence or everything that we come to perceive is, take for example the physical block card or the table or whatever. How do you know it's a block card? How do you know it's a table? Through our mental aggregate of perception, sanya, we perceive it. And what is this perception? Those who know physics, you will know. It's the vision that we perceive through our seeing consciousness. So the image that we see, literally inverted in the brain, but made upright by the brain. Then the perception brings in the external form. Externally is already dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena. Not so real. It has its unreality. Then how do you know it's a block? It's a table. We perceive it through an image. And this image is just a very thin layer of consciousness, which is hardly perceivable by anything. It's just an image, a thought. Mental image arise and pass away. Even more unreal. Externally already you know through the Paticca Samuppada, dependent originating, not so real, not what you think. But the way we come to know about it is through our perception, which is just an image, even more unreal. Then why do we attach to it, cling on to it, hold on to it, and get ourselves entangled with it? This is what emptiness is all about. When you understand this profound meaning of emptiness, you penetrate the phenomenal world of form, the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then your mind becomes different. Then you realize everything is not what you think. Then straight away you can deduce the emptiness, empty nature of existence, empty nature of all phenomena. That's why in the Heart Sutta he said, when Kuan Yin Bodhisattva was cultivating the Prajnaparamita Sutta, he illuminated the five skandhas, the five aggregates, and realized that they are all empty. And this is the deep meaning. There is no reality. Empty. Empty means empty nature of existence. Emptiness also has another meaning. Very deep meaning. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's not so real, not what you think. Ultimately, it's empty. Like the example I gave you all, the whole of life, the whole of existence. How real can it be? We cannot deny that we are born into this world, to our mother's womb. Then we live all these years of life until now. For me, it's 68 years. But when I reflected and looked back, it's only memory. I can only recall it through memory. 往事只能回味, which means the past is already gone, no more a reality. You can only hold on to it through memory. Yeah. But you like it or not, it's already dead and gone. Empty, not what you think. Yeah. You can talk about it, argue about it, say a lot of things about it, but it is still gone, dead and gone. No more reality. And the only reality is the present moment. Split second is dead and gone. So how real can life be? Moment to moment, life passes by. And that is the only reality within the existence. Because when we relate to life, we can relate to existence. To exist is to live life, isn't it? And existence can be classified into time-related spectrum. We have the past, the present, and the future. Then, of these three time frame, which is the reality? Like we have gone through, the past is already gone, no more reality. Future also yet to come, also no more reality. So the only reality is the present moment. That's why present moment is the highest in life. But to transcend life, you have to transcend even the present moment. That's why the monks who understand, especially Kuan Xing Lao San and many other Mahayana monks, they said in Mandarin, 过去心不可得, 未来心不可得, 现在心也不可得. Then the present moment is also within existence. But to transcend birth and death, to go beyond birth and death, you must go beyond time. That's why the three periods of time are not what you think, not real, empty. So this understanding is very important, that the present moment is the only reality, because it exists when it arises. But how stable is the present moment? The moment I speak about it is gone. That's why split second is dead and gone. It arises and passes away so fast. That is the only reality. So how real can life be? Existence be? That's why it is not what you think. Empty nature existence, no reality. Everything just arise and pass away, come and go, condition arising, causal phenomenon, dependent originating. If you penetrate this, you penetrate the secret of life. And your nature can awaken. Then you will not be deluded anymore. You will not be deceived by the phenomenal world of form and consciousness anymore. Then you can return everything that I create to its own delusion, back to nature. Then from there, the mind realizes itself and sees, you realize the oneness nature, which is they call Nibbana, the unconditioned. That's what enlightenment is all about. So hopefully with this summarized explanation, you can develop that. If you want the full version, go and listen to that audio file. Okay, we will go back to the sharing. So Manjusri, wonderful virtual Bodhisattva, I see Royal Monarch, we have covered this. And to ask about the atmosphere, this one, I think we were here. They ask about the Supreme Buddha way. After they ask about it, the Buddha instruct them in the doctrine of, we were here. Suffering, for number two, I have already explained before. The emptiness, I just explained. Impermanence is actually related to emptiness. To understand impermanent, we have to understand the universal characteristics of anicca, which is to see the teacher samuppada, the law of dependent origination. But ours is a conditioned world. Everything within the conditioned world is dependent originating, conditioned arising, causal phenomenon. That's why it's not a permanent changing entity. And because of that, you cannot hold on to it, cling on to it, say, this is me, this is I, therefore, all this can be mine. That is a delusion, sakkayaditti. That's why, through that, you will understand the last aspect of the teaching, which is anatta, non-self. Non-self is one aspect of anatta. The full anatta is empty nature or existence nature, not a permanent, unchanging entity. So anatta nature has non-self plus sunyata nature. Yeah. That's why anatta is a very profound teaching. It's neither self nor no self. It's in between. It's non-self. It's not nothingness. Yeah. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. And yet, it's not nothingness. Yeah. So, it is like they say, in between, intermediate, non-self, not a permanent and changing entity. But there is something. Take for example, our own physical body and mind. The Buddha called it the form and mind. This form and mind is anatta, but subject to karma. That is the confusion part. And he said this one is not a permanent and changing entity. This one is impermanent, go the way of nature, subject to the law of karma. So you have to understand all this. Then only you can penetrate the teaching. Otherwise, you will be confused. So these four things are very important. Suffering, emptiness, impermanent, leading to understanding of anatta nature and non-self nature. So in Pali is dukkha, sunyata, anicchang, and anatta. Then the Buddha say, everything in this world is bound up in suffering, which is true. When you are deluded, you attach, you cling, the outcome is upadana khandas, the grasping aggregate at suffering or dukkha. So this part is very beautiful. I will read on. Wealth and honor are like a dream before dawn. This is a very good poem. Power and fame are like floating clouds. The bone and flesh of the present also are unreal. Devotion turned to hatred. So this is a very beautiful poem. You can understand. It will be beautiful. You're trying to develop the understanding. Then we go on to Master Shenhua's commentary, see what he said. See whether you can understand based on what he said. Wealth and honor are as insubstantial as a dream just before the sun comes out. Spelling is wrong, the sun, not the sun. Can you understand from this explanation? Maybe the Mandarin words are more meaningful. I don't know what is the Mandarin word. But the English translation definitely make you very confused. Wealth and honor are as insubstantial as a dream just before the sun comes out. So what do you understand from this? What the poem is trying to let you understand is a lot of human beings, they strive on so hard in life to gain what? Wealth and honor. To them, this is very important. You have a lot of wealth, it will bring for honor. Then you become famous, well known. You can do a lot of things with your wealth. Then you gain a lot of honor. But are they real? Are they tangible? Maybe when you live your life at that time, you know to make use of it, then yes. But if you get your wealth and your honor through unscrupulous means or not through the proper Dhamma way, then this one will have its own karmic issue and problem. And no matter how you get it, even you get it through the Dhamma way, the virtuous way, it's still the same. Whatever you call wealth doesn't belong to you. Your form and mind does not really exist. If you yourself, the entity, doesn't exist, then how can it own things? How can it have things? You must develop the understanding that all these are condition arising, dependent originating. When causes and conditions are there, they arise. Mainly because of past coming. Like your dana parami, you have your dana parami, your wealth will be there. You will receive a lot of dana parami wealth. Then through the wealth, you know how to put it to good use, you will receive proper honor. Then you can have the good life and other things. But then, is it real? Where everything arises will pass away. They come and they go. As real it can be, that's why they say it's just like a dream before dawn. Before you wake up, it's like that dream. You can only recall to mind Wang Si Zi Neng Hui Wei. No reality is dead and gone. So what is wealth and what is honor? That moment when they arise, you don't know how to make use of it and develop the joy, the happiness, and be a blessing to all, it's just like a dream before dawn. So that is the deep meaning, hope you understand. Then power and fame are like floating cloud in space. So this is the same, whatever power you may hold, authority, like you are a general or a king or even a CEO of a company. And you may have a lot of authority, a lot of power. Power to prosecute, power to sentence, to kill. And you can have a lot of fame. But ultimately, it's like wealth and honor. Not what you think. It's like a floating cloud. It will soon disperse and gone. Then similarly, the bone and the flesh of the present, our segmented line, they are also unreal. So all this understanding is very important. They do not last. The bones and flesh of the present moment, the relationship of father and son, husband and wife, elders and younger brother, are also unreal, not what you think. You may love someone and be very close to them, but in the future, as time goes by, love can turn into hatred, contempt, etc. So that type of love is not universal love, not true love. When the king hear this instruction from the Buddha, they immediately, without further thought, forsake their land, the land they own, the people who work in the field, a pleasant land, their happy pleasure grounds, they give them away. All the palaces, ministers, concubines, their palaces make of jewel, their hall and pavilion make of aloe swoop and sandalwood. Their minister and their concubine, why do they give them away? And cut off their beard and hair, they become novices, and they clothe themselves in Dhamma robes. They put on the clothing worn by those who have left home or renounced the world. The Shaya or five pishesh worn by monks. The king leaves the home life seeking the Dhamma of the precepts, and so this section deals with renunciation and morality. Okay, we go on a bit more. And the next part of the sutta, seen as bodhisattva who becomes bhikkhu, dwell alone within the world in quietude, reciting sutta texts with joy. So next section is patience. Commentary. Seen a bodhisattva who leave the home life to become bhikkhus, becoming bhikkhu dwells alone. This section deals with the perfection of patience. Gandhi. Perhaps bodhisattvas are seen who dwell deep in the forest or in the mountain caves. Evil people may come upon them. When such people strike or rebuff them, they must patiently endure it. When evil beasts beat them, they also must be patient and not be frightened or alarmed. So these four lines discuss patience. They like to read and recite this sutta. So this is about patient endurance. Okay, then the next part of the sutta is, again, bodhisattva seen striving with heroic vigor, entering the mountains deep to ponder on the Buddha's way. So this number four quality or the paramita is on virya. They use the English word as vigor. Virya. Commentary. Again, bodhisattva seen striving with heroic vigor. How are they vigorous? They go without eating to study the Buddha Dharma. They go without sleeping to study the Buddha Dharma. They are like some people who go without eating, but make up for it by sleeping more, saying, I haven't eaten, so I can't cultivate. I will sleep a little more instead. When others are not sleeping, they are asleep. That is not heroic vigor. Those with heroic vigor will go without food because they forgot about food altogether. They don't deliberately refrain from eating in order to put on that they are cultivating. They just forgot about eating and sleeping. They forget about everything. What do they think of? They think only to cultivate and to study the Buddha Dharma. Then entering the mountains deep, they go deep into the mountain valley to ponder the Buddha way. Ponder means they cultivate the Buddha Dharma. They cultivate in accord with Dhamma. So here, virya or viga, I think I would like to explain it slightly differently. Or what is being explained by Master Xuan Huang. That's through my personal cultivation and understanding, I came to know this virya is a very special driving force, or what we call spiritual tenacity. So this spiritual tenacity, virya, they arise when we have developed the faith in the Buddha in his teaching, after knowing who is the Buddha and what his teaching is all about and how wonderful the teaching is. So with this faith developed, then the understanding will push us to diligently cultivate. That's why this spiritual zeal of tenacity to walk this way, the Buddha way, they will arise and they are very strong. That driving force is very, very strong. That's why I always say you must have sadha first, the faith. And with the sadha, through understanding, you actually develop the virya. And this virya, when it comes, it will drive you constantly to cultivate, non-stop, all out. I remember during the time when I was cultivating, I hardly sleep, I hardly rest. I do rest, I do sleep, but the virya is so strong. Every moment, every instant is the dhamma, the cultivation. And all of life is just dhamma, the cultivation. The spiritual zeal is so strong. Then it's like you are not tired. Like something you like, yeah, that you have passion for, you will go all out and develop it. At that time, I remember that I used to tell the Kayamitas in the early days, I say it's a full-time job cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. A full-time job doesn't mean you must retire, yeah, to go into Dhamma cultivation full-time or renounce that monk. No, full-time job is whether you are working or living or whatever, you are in the midst of cultivation. That's why Dhamma can be cultivated at all times, any place, any time, anywhere. So the domain of meditation, you have to understand, it is not restricted by anything. Dhamma is life itself. Life itself is the Dhamma. Whatever you do, it involves the understanding of existence and life. And that itself is where the Dhamma is. So when you understand, you can cultivate Dhamma in any posture, anywhere, anytime, any place. There is no limitation to cultivation. Then you are not like most people say, ah, yeah, now I got to work, I got to earn enough money, eh, to do my duty and honest thing. Wait till I retire, or wait till I have more time when I am on long leave. Eh. But then when they are on long leave, they think about their annual trip, their annual overseas trip or whatever, dream trip. Yeah. So a lot of priority in life depend on the individual. Every individual has his own understanding and priority in life. So if your priority is not cultivation, then you will end up doing all those things. That's why if you really want to go this way, it's a full-time job. You will hold on to this cultivation all the time. And I remember during that time, non-stop, throughout the day, whatever I do, the first instant is to be aware, then to develop Dhamma understanding, contemplate, reflect, silent, meditate. So all these are part and parcel of cultivation. So this part of explanation is more important, more deep. Hopefully you all can develop the understanding. Because when you are in this state of mind, this is called heedfulness. Ever mindful, constantly meditative, and non-stop virya. Then I remember during that time, I sleep very little, I hardly sleep. I most of the time away. Then my mind is very quiet, very tranquil, still. Yeah. And throughout the day, mindful, aware. Then everything I reflect on, contemplate on is Dhamma. Then I contemplate until very, very deep, until very clear, until all the universal characteristics, the essential Dhamma become very clear to me. Like when I recite Rupang Anicchang, the deep meaning is inside. Rupang Anatta, Vedana Anicchang, Vedana Anatta, Sanya Anicchang, Sanya Anatta, Sangha Anicchang, Sangha Anatta, Viyana Anicchang, Viyana Anatta. Then Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. All this become very, very clear. So that is the part on cultivation that I wish to share with you all. Hopefully, it will help. Then some of you all can make use of it. Entering the mountain deep, they go deep into the mountain valleys to ponder on the Buddha way. We have completed this one. Ponder here means that they cultivate the Buddha Dharma. They cultivate in accordance with the Dharma, as following the Buddha way. The next part of the sutta. Maybe we just read through the content, then you all go back and read up a bit, see whether you can develop the understanding or not. This part is on samadhi, the fifth paramita. Seen to are those who have left desire, means craving, who dwell in constant solitude, deeply cultivating dhyan samadhi and attaining the five spiritual penetrations. Again, our bodhisattva sins in the peace of dhyan, with palms joined, who with 10,000 lines, singing praise of the Dhamma King and samadhi. So the commentary part, you all go back and read about it. I will mark this page and maybe we can stop here. Our second session. Meditation reporting followed by whatever question you may have or Dhamma sharing.
Amitabha, right here, Mrs. Teo and all Kayamitas. Okay. Happy, beautiful and wonderful Mother's Day to all mothers.
Thank you so much. In fact, a lot of Kayamita, they really rejoice with Mother's Day. Mother's Day, I think, bring about a lot of joy to many people, especially mothers and their born with their children. So the bonding is very important. The Mother's Day signifies the sacrifice of all mothers. Actually, mother, they are the most wonderful parents that you can find. Most mother, especially in our tradition, they do everything like you see in the sharing, from giving birth to delivering children, raising them, looking after them, care for them, nursing them, teaching them, guiding them, everything they do, including worrying for them. Then they have to have a lot of patience and sacrifice and love to do all this. Of course, there are others with karmic entanglement, and there are also moments where mother also feel like suffer, and when things don't go their way, when the first number two reality hits, it's not easy. But ultimately, when the children grow up, they always, most of the case, have great love and remembrance for their mother. They really have that heart to feel and appreciate how much the mother has really sacrificed and cared for them. So these are very touching moments. That's why the tradition, Mother's Day, Father's Day, or whatever, it gives rise to good condition for this type of bond to arise. And it gives rise to a lot of good moments where people can come up with a lot of good idea that can make the bond stronger and more meaningful, especially the gift of love to offering of flowers, gift, or having a nice meal. Then some, they appreciate Mother's Day differently. They say most mothers, they just want to be free on that day, don't want to cook anymore and all those things. There are some like that because they have cooked long enough. I have one sister-in-law he used to tell the five children that he raised. He said, "You five, you don't know how I went through." He said, for 16 years, he really go all out, sacrifice and care for them and raise them. And he got no time for life and no time to do anything for herself. Yeah, every day is the children, even fetching them to school, some in primary school, some in secondary school. Then later on, of course, uni and all those things. Then every day, got to take care of their three meals, do their duty. Actually, as a householder, as a mother who don't work, it's not easy. Actually, it's a full-time job, especially those who have many children. Okay, please, sorry, taking up your time. You should continue. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Brother Theo. This is exactly the roles and duties of the great mothers, you know.
Yeah.
I understand this fully because I'm also
a great
mother. Yeah. Always, always the family comes first before you.
Caring. Yeah. Willing to sacrifice.
Yes. We will do everything for them, like.
Yeah.
So it's like every time, you know, your things is the last.
Secondary. Yeah, not important. Yes.
More important, and they also think they deserve it also, like. They also deserve it since you're not working, so.
Correct.
Do all the chapalang thing for them, you know.
Yeah. Because
the
they always,
the coach,
they always remember the mother. Anything they need, they go for the mother. Like my son also, he cannot find things. Mommy, then she will find them.
Yes, correct.
They do the housekeeping, so they will know where you put the thing.
So my son
always, he say, "Mommy is the best." Every time you need thing, you ask mommy, then she will know where to find it, where to get it. And even her experience as a mother, when they want to start a family, they really appreciate what my wife has gone through and advised them. And they, even the wife, my daughter-in-law, he said, "Auntie, very good." He said, he, all the things that we pass over to them, to start the family, all the good ones. No need to go and look for it. They are all very useful, very relevant, very beautiful. So these are the feedback, very beautiful.
Yes. It's true, you know, when they grow up, they don't really spend a lot of time with us, but they grow older and they start working, and they have more appreciation of you.
Correct.
And whatever they need, when they don't know how to do things, they always come back to the parents.
Like that day I share with Grace Lynn, I think. I said, we have the daughter about 30 years old. I said, wait till you're about near 40, she will think of you more. As they go through life, they will remember that their mother really must have done a lot. Otherwise, when it's time for them to become mother, or they see their friend or become mother, married, and how they really have to sacrifice. Not easy. You look at their life. It is really amazing to me. I also take my hat off. Sometimes in my sharing, I used to say, you think you work as a doctor, as an engineer, you are very workhorse. Your career is very special. And I tell you, the housewife, they do more than us. The amount of sacrifice and the amount of work they pour in is throughout the day. They hardly rest. Like my wife used to tell me, "Wow, you hard yet. Already dinner time already. Then after that, at night already, you got to sleep already. Then next morning, got to wash clothes, everything again. The routine start, clean the house, everything." And these are considered very minor. They are the children all grown up. Before that, I tell you, my wife is a teacher somehow. Not easy. Half a day teacher in school, and now homework and all those things, marking paper, it's not easy. And she used to tell me, she also cannot remember how she go to order, but she is a good mother. She sacrificed a lot. She do her duty very well. That's why those mother who sacrifice and do their duty, they are wonderful. They are beautiful. Good, for Chang Sadhu. This subject is actually very relevant to Dhamma sharing.
Sadhu. Yes. So thank you to all mothers who make the world more wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the children and for the partners, you know, to live.
Correct, yeah.
So we actually it's not just the Mother's Day that we celebrate, but we have to do it in a more consistent manner.
Correct.
So that we don't wait for last minute to
yes.
do things, you know. If we really appreciate them, we should
tell
them how much actually
we should show it in kind, like my wife say, don't just think of your mother on Mother's Day. You love them, appreciate what they have done for you, and express it throughout the year whenever you have the time and honest thing. Of course, the once a year event is very meaningful, even though symbolic but meaningful. Then she always, as a joke, I say, this Mother's Day, a lot of restaurant or food, you don't book ahead, all food. Because they open up the economy. So my wife used to say this, because on Mother's Day, everything is special. You need to reserve, you need to book, and it's not really that cheap. So he said, we can celebrate Mother's Day on any day. Don't have to be that day. So we can have nice restaurant on a booking day. No need to be a holiday, you know. So these are some ideas that should be passed down so that the children know why want to get crash with all these people to go for the booking. And normally during that time, the restaurant are packed, full, and you have to wait. Whereas if you book 1 or 2 days earlier or a few days later, it can be a weekend also. Then you can have a good meal and you can really celebrate Mother's Day more meaningfully. But of course, that day has its significance. A lot of people will say, oh, it's different. Mother's Day must wish them, wish our mother on that day because it has special significance and all those things. It depends on the individual. But for us, no need to rush if there is condition. Okay, can have it. But if it's really packed and full, we can actually delay it. So this is how we actually came to observe and develop understanding. And the children were beautiful. Early on, they used to arrange. And we had very nice dinner before. Yeah, Po Cheng, you continue. Yes.
Yeah, Brazil, I agree with you. That's what I tell my children also. It don't have to be Mother's Day. But my son, he said, oh, it's different. It's a special day.
Yeah, significance. A lot of special
things. My son wants it. So, okay, we go. And
yeah, no problem. And they will make it a point to make the reservation, which is actually very joyful when we come to special effort to book, and it's not easy. They have to book ahead many days.
Because for them they are working, so weekend is they are free, so they can have time with the parents. So in it makes sense to him, that he wants it on the same on the day, when he's happy and joyous. I say, why not provided the restaurant not full,
yeah.
So, but anyway, we had a very good time together, and I mean, they were not using their handphone and things like that.
Oh, that's good.
We are just really using good. The handphone, taking pictures and it's a very joyous, happy occasion. So it's good company, and you see a lot of people, and you're happy that everybody can go out and go with the family. So in that sense, after 2 years, this is a very special occasion. In fact, it's just starting since April for us in Singapore.
Start to open up. It's the same. There's a lot of joy. That's why this Hari Raya, a lot of people make full use of it to go home for gathering. And this 1 woman, I think, has been great economic activity. A lot of restaurants now, the business come back. And a lot of people are now more willing to come out to have their meals. Not like last time. Last time, the high, what they call, morbidity or whatever, how to pronounce that? High risk of comorbidities. The older people with other type of sickness and disease. They try to avoid because theirs is the high risk. but then need to be careful in the sense that even though it has become like endemic, but we need to take care. We need to take care. So sometimes we cannot be like take things for granted and forget about everything. Like my wife and my daughter, they are using the mask is still, I think, a necessity, but we are so used to it, that's why we still wear masks. But when we enter a restaurant, of course, when the drinks are served, the food are served, we take it off. But when you come out, if advisable, you drop, you wear, unless you are going for exercise in the park and all those things, then maybe you can do away with it. But at least now it's much better. Serious case no more. I think you hardly hear of people having serious COVID-19 cases. Most of them are asymptomatic or light symptom. In fact, 99.3% or 4% is asymptomatic or category 2, very light, mild symptom. Then category 3, 4, and 5 are about 0.6 or 0.7% only, very low. Which is good news. That's why they say we transition over to endemic phase, no more pandemic, which will give us more space to actually move around and go back to normality. So these 2 years of pandemic has created a lot of new normal, new understanding, and also learning. Unless you go through pandemic, you won't see the effect of that pandemic. Actually, it's not easy. A lot of people actually suffer during the pandemic, and KL is doubly affected because of the flood last year. So there are a lot of things that happen. Some people are out of job, but luckily the government did a lot of things. They gave a lot of support, allow EPF withdrawal and many other things. Then our economy luckily is quite resilient, because for Malaysia and Singapore, I think both are very blessed, especially in Malaysia. Our oil price, crude oil, all-time high. Then our plantation export also, the palm oil also doing very well. Then our electronics and other sector also doing very well, manufacturing and all those things. So in a way, we are quite blessed. Then the bank, they turn around. It was just a short period, they affected a bit, then now they more or less fully turn around. So coming quarter onward, we are looking forward to the vibrant economy. A lot of sector will come back, even airline, tourism, hotel industry, and other like resort, gaming, resort world, getting also. I think they have turned around and things are becoming like more normal now. I don't know about Singapore. How is it, Pocheng, Singapore?
Brother, in Singapore, like you said, you know, coming to like going out, I mean, it's optional to wear masks when But when you are in malls, restaurant,
you must wear
masks. Yes.
Yeah, good.
You are eating, then you take down your mask. You know.
Oh.
Otherwise, you have to wear your mask again. You know, if you are not eating. So in a way, it's safe, lah. I mean, we feel safe also.
Yeah, you feel safe, Same as
So, in terms of economy, I think everybody can go back to work.
That is a good sign.
Everybody go back to work, So in that sense, you see more movement of people and more business. More business activity, and you see restaurants are full.
The places are packed.
You know that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's good sign.
Domestic economy is picking up.
So more employment also. Then money flow. Money flow very important. When money flow, more people get job and more people can spend. Then more business, more profit, more tax, everything turn around. The bank will do better, everybody will do better. Then they can travel. Now I saw a lot of people start to travel.
Yes, more people traveling. In fact, from Singapore to Malaysia also.
They say the tourists that come, very big number now.
Yes, true. So, brother, coming back to this mindfulness in daily life.
Yes.
So, you know, because of my busy schedule, now I have a rather busy schedule.
Oh, okay.
Because of my life situation has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, brother, it's a blessing in disguise that I must say this, you know, it's a blessing in disguise for my cultivation.
Definitely, it is a good test. It's a very, very powerful test.
It's so powerful that, Bratio, I seem to see things that I never see in my life before.
Correct. Yeah, we take for granted that everything is smooth sailing because of our good parami. But when the test comes, it really exposed to you the other side that you never expect to see. But it's always when you are ready and able to take it that it happened. Just like that time, I remember, suddenly my son compound fractured a hand. Then my mother heart attack, went into the hospital. All this just happened simultaneously. But no problem. Yeah, that time I have already understood that within that few moments, the moment I understand, everything start to reverse. Then I just do what I have to do. Then I check. My mind was so different. Then I received the news from my wife that my son fell from the staircase, compound fracture, and crying. I didn't panic. I said, don't worry. I will call my classmate who is a doctor nearby, Dr. Teo, also Dr. Teo. I say, I will meet you there. Then we went there. Then he said, must go to the hospital. So he gave me a letter, emergency. So I went there. That time I was working in university, and I got technicians who are doing the maintenance for the university hospital. So that time, luckily, I was there working. So I called up my DA. The DA said, no problem, Mr. Teo. You just give me the name, I will go and register, then you come. We get him admitted. So immediately the specialist was arranged. Then they took the x-ray, then the surgery, the compound fracture surgery. And the doctor was very good. I still remember Dr. Dylan. He did a perfect surgery. At that time my son was only how many years old? I think 7 years old. Yeah, born in 1982, 7 years old. Yeah, yeah, it was the year 1989. So that time, and my mother after that, heart attack, cold sweat, everything. Again, my classmates say need to admit. So both were in the hospital. But my mother was lucky because my sister was in UH. So when she was admitted, my sister took care of her ICU. She recovered. She got heart attack. And both just happened like that. But later on, when I knew what this was, I reflected on them later. And both also recovered very fast. And the whole thing reversed. That's why it's meant to be, will be, it will happen. Good. So now you continue for things Saturday.
Because of this incident, right? So, because of the words used, because of the words used, my nature appear, you know? My nature appear in the daily life, in the midst of life, in an emergency, you know? My nature come out, I can see my heart, vision of the heart, gratitude. It show it to me. It show it to me the pulse of life. The pulse of life.
Wow, that's very good.
So it show it to me with all this gratitude. It is without words, son.
Without words.
Yes, all this appear and you understand what is going on.
Correct. It is consciousness, the life force that found and sustain that consciousness. The consciousness of the mind. And no reality, he know you, he know me. It's just dependent, originating, conditional. The three things come together, then it animate the human being, the form and mind, into like a living being, the five aggregate of form and mind. One is the physical body in proper condition, then the life force that come through the heartbeat, that pump, then the consciousness. When these three things are together, it will animate into a form and mind, or we call it a living being or a human being in our case, then this one is like exists, alive. This one is subject to karma. This one has to develop the cultivation, the understanding to live life, to understand life. So all this will be connected. Then you see, like you went through, that nature arise and saw the life force and all that. Then this one is like witnessing. Witnessing the condition behind the arising of all this. And it's so beautiful. What sadhu to you? Rejoice.
Sadhu. Okay,
very
so,
good.
So this happened. And since after that, Radio, I did what I have to do, you know?
Life and existence. So do what you have to do.
Correct.
Because the form of mind has its wisdom and understanding and the duty, you just do what you have to do. Make sure all those affected are still alive, they are okay. They can have the understanding to continue with their life. And if there is condition, explain a bit to them. Otherwise, just let things be. Wait for them to recuperate and more stable, then only let them understand. Because during that time when it happened, it's not easy. Because the person involved can be very traumatic. Like you say, how can this thing happen? It is not normal. And yet, it happened. And this is really not easy for people to comprehend. Unless cultivator who has the Dhamma, like your case and all those things, it's not easy. Most people would have completely become so upset and crazy. You know, why? How can this thing happen? What else thing? Why now? All this question is from the thought, from the mundane consciousness. So all this, it will dawn upon the cultivator. That is for us actually to develop deeper understanding and awaken deeper, further. But this is the test that need to be activated so that cultivator of the way can go to it. But during that time, like I always say, nothing else can pass us unless it's somebody very close to us, like my mother, my son, So all these things, many other kayamita also gone through. So at that time, I remember I received a phone call from your sister. So I told her, I said, don't worry. I said, Putin will know what to do. Let her go through. Then she even asked me to call you. I said, no need, just let it be. That's why everything will fall into place. And so sadhu to you, Putin. Very good. Continue, yeah.
Yeah, sadhu, bratio, for all the Dharma teaching and the development of my sati.
Yeah,
very talking important. About development of my sati, there is a change in my sati. You know?
Oh, sadhu, very good.
Because, okay, maybe I talk a little bit more first of others so that before I come to this sati thing.
So
I have to do what I have to do, right? Bratio, for me, the immediate thing is... to somehow I have to do this, but I didn't do it immediately. But I did it like when I'm home, like, you know, when I'm home.
Yes.
When I'm home, everything settled, I'm home. I ask forgiveness on behalf of my daughter because this is one of my vow that I had that I will do it on their behalf because they do not have the Dhamma understanding.
Yes,
they do not have the Dhamma understanding.
Yes.
So when I did that, Bratio, something happened to me, you know. Something happened to me. So I mean I didn't expect things to happen, but it happened, anyway. Fortunately, I do it on a weekend, you know, asking for forgiveness. I did it on a Saturday. So, after doing the asking for forgiveness, repentance, and then the invocation of marriage.
For turnaround.
So, I did that, and that was in the morning. When I was at home, the whole day, so I do all my house chores and things like that. So while I doing my house chores, I was folding my clothes, collecting the clothes, you know, outside and then bring in, right? I was sitting down folding my clothes. Something happened to me, you know. Something happened that is so sudden that I had to sit down, you know. I was standing doing my
You had to sit down or lie down.
I have to sit down, and then this pressure and tension on my shoulder that is so
strong,
strong and severe.
That
just happened, like hit me on the shoulder, and then I silenced my mind. I went to the silent mind, and I see what is happening on my body. So it build up, it arise and rise and build up to very, very strong tension and pain.
High intensity.
Is not the actual thing, you know. Although initially it was so sudden pain on me and shock on me on my shoulder. But when I went to the silent mind, all this ceased to be.
You will break free.
You see what happened to you, but you do not have any pain or anything.
Nothing. There's because that silence is completely different, out of the mundane.
Correct. It's not the mundane mind that's looking at it.
No more.
You are into the silent mind, the silent mind, witness it.
This one is without the delusion and the grasping anymore. It's a free mind, the aggregates are free. Call it ungrasping, means non-grasping aggregate. So it's pure mind, pure silent, aware. Thing cannot affect you, cannot affect.
It doesn't affect me.
Then the whole thing will reverse, and it's like you completely break free. And that will give you a lot of understanding and a lot of joy.
Yes, correct. So it was so beautiful, although I know what is going on. It is so beautiful process that you see arising, arising,
until the high intensity,
higher speed of it.
And then
after that,
you break free.
You break free, slow down. And then after that, Brother Teo, when I come out of it, my mind is so cooling, and I don't know what kind of thing is that, but it's so cooling that it's like, the bliss like, of happiness or what, I don't know.
Correct. It's like a relief, and like there is a kind of joy and a bliss within. Because it's like the whole thing has been understood. Whatever that need to endure has been endured, and with the understanding, it will break free. Because you take the karmic on behalf. You ask for forgiveness on behalf. So some of this will come to you. Then, if you have the Dhamma and the understanding, it will reverse itself very fast. That's why luckily, you knew you had to sit down and go into the silence. Then the whole thing just happened. It just practiced.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct. So in that sense, that's why it was very lucky that I do it at home when I, on the weekend, that I don't have to run around, you know.
Correct, correct.
So,
Sadhu,
imagine if I do it now and have keep me outside, I say, Alama, how about
you will be totally different.
Correct, correct. Yes. So that was like a very, very amazing experience for me, you know,
Sadhu,
that I was able to endure and severe that. The pain of the whatever that thing that is happening.
Yes, that karmic thing that you have to take, actually. We are on their behalf.
Yes, correct. Correct. So then after that, I feel very happy that it happened on me, you know, not on my daughter.
You help them
you know
to take it.
Yeah.
You help them to take
correct.
It. Then the thing reverses itself.
Yes.
Which is
because in that sense, I'm able to handle it on behalf of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very difficult for them to handle.
Yeah, not easy
right
for
now.
Them.
Right. So that happened. So I feel very good that it happened, you know. And Brother Teo, that is not the end, no?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. After that, Brother Teo, you know, like an hour later or so, the pain came into my abdomen, you know, the pain came to my abdomen.
Okay.
So I have to rush to the toilet. I don't know what is that, like, but while the air all pushed out. The gas.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
the gas make my abdomen so painful that, I tell you.
You have to go and throw it out.
Yeah.
You have to go and
it's
and
like,
all this is from the karmic thing. Then you will flush it out. The whole thing will clear.
So that was the first that I have to rush to the toilet. Then after that, I feel more comfortable. Then I continue my house chores. And then less than 10 minutes, it happened a second time. This is like doubly worse than the first time, you know.
Oh,
but I'm able to, I go here again. I enjoy it again, you know. That,
you will know how to do it.
Correct. But right here at this time, I tell you, I'm able to, like in my mind, I'm able to send out the pure wish that everybody suffering from this is free from this suffering.
Wow, Sadhu, that is the Bodhisattva's mind, Sadhu. That's why you will think of others, you will radiate his love and metta. Every time we learn something, we will actually improve on all this pure wish. Like last night, I used to go through all this very beautiful happening where the mind is so different. The pure wish, every time it arises, it really manifests. Think of one time, like I told you all last time, for it to happen, something else not so positive must happen. The fire broke out at one of the college projects that I did with somebody. Then through that fire, they need to contact that person, and that person need to contact me. And for many years, we haven't established contact, and yet he contact. So after that, I make this pure wish, I modify it. I say, it is only for the good of the many, let it manifest. Otherwise, don't let it manifest. Because it can have its other type of effect. It causes things to arise. It's not to say it caused something negative. It's because there is karmic behind for it to arise to. It's their karma. But this nature cannot allow such thing to. That's why I qualify it by saying, if it's for the good of the many, only let this pure wish arise. Otherwise, no, just let things be. So nowadays, I add in this one, if it's for the good of the many, then only let it manifest. Otherwise, I would rather have it not manifest. Then you become very careful with your pure wish, your thought. Later on, all this will manifest and you will understand. This is what that pure mind is, that nature is. It has that power to cause things to arise. Because of your sincerity, your wisdom, your understanding, that nature within, it will arise and manifest. So sadhu to you, you can have that type of mind, which is very good.
Brother, but then that's not the end of it, you know. So I thought everything is okay, huh? But a few minutes later, a tornado like that, worse than the first and the second. It was like, oh my God, it's so severe, you know, so severe. This one, is really, really, how you call that? I endure it, and then in that time, I make another pure wish, you know. With that, everything subsided.
Went back to normal.
Went back to normal.
Very good. Yeah, this experience is really extraordinary.
I don't remember of my baby birth, but this I remember for life, I think.
This one will go with you, it's from your nature. It come out. You are able to go through it. You will have very vivid. Yes. Understanding of all this. If you were to tell this to other people, nobody will believe you. They cannot understand. How can this be possible? That's why the Dhamma is very, very amazing and wonderful. Yes. That's why it's called a wonderful Dhamma.
The Dhamma is really amazing when we really touch the nature, right? So this thing, really a good lesson, good test for me. In a way, I survived, Brother Teo. I survived with all the preparation and teaching that Brother Teo has
taught
me. And I tell you, Brother Teo, the 5-daily contemplation really helped me.
Essential Dhamma of the Buddha, and they are very useful. That's why you need to contemplate that until it becomes a part of your nature, until everything becomes clear. What is this form and mind? It goes away of nature. Birth, old age, sickness, and death pertain to this form and mind. Nothing to do with that nature. So you will not be deluded by it. You will not be gullible. You will not hold on to it. Everything is like very clear to you. And that nature is completely out of the thing. It's like externally witnessing the phenomenal condition arising thing. Everything that comes from the conditioned mind, that nature, the manifestation, the creation, that you can see, they are not what people think. These are all phenomenal world of conditioned arising entity, causal phenomenal, dependent originating, no reality, empty. The world is empty. And all this becomes very beautiful. Mind make are there, consciousness are there. And the form number two will unfold the whole thing. Then after that, you will understand empty nature or existence, sunyata. Therefore, sunyata, you will relate to anatta. And all this will fall into place. Then the form and mind become very clear. The nature become very clear, then living being, human being, all this become very clear. Then Dhamma become very clear, the unconditioned Dhamma become very clear, the conditioned Dhamma become very clear. So all this they were surfaced. That's why from now on, your understanding will continue to evolve and become very, very deep and very deep. Sadhu, watching.
Bharatiya, deep gratitude to you for your teachings and guidance, actually.
Yeah.
Without your teaching and guidance, I think
past,
I'll be
yeah.
kalang kabut, you know.
Well, also your past, your nature, your past, your affinity with Triple Gem, and your sincerity, and your, what they call, parami from the past. That's why you have your causes and conditions. Then when the time comes, everything just fall into place. Like how you encounter the Dhamma, how you come, how you decide to come to the retreat. Then after the retreat, how you determine to actually cultivate. Then the pandemic hit. Because the pandemic, blessing in disguise. We go through the Heart Sutta, everything. Then you develop the trust and the understanding and cultivate according to what you have heard and understood. You didn't like other people, a lot of conditioning. You just follow instruction, the clear instruction. Then you realize everything just fall into place. Then the understanding come, the meditation take off, then the awareness, the everything just fall into place. That's why at that time when it happened, I already hinted, I said, you will progress very far. Because very rare you can have somebody who can follow the instructions so easily and able to go through all those transformations. So that's why at that time I told them, you are the fastest. At that time, everything just fall into place because you like very new before that. You like don't know anything. You like to a lot of other kayamita, you are like very new. But you progress so fast is because your condition is such, it has the causes and condition behind for all this to happen because you have the faith. Then you determine. Your determination is very strong. Your vow, your aspiration, everything. Then you start to do the cultivation. Then after that, you understand. Then you go into the Bodhisattva vow. When you took the Bodhisattva vow, you really take off. And that time, a lot of things happened to you. And total, within about 2 over 2 to 3 years, and such amazing thing can happen, I tell you. It's very rare. Yeah, indeed. Sadhu. Very good.
This is I think it's the teaching. The teaching somehow like make me realize that you know, it kind of make me realize whatever I do following the instruction, it materialize.
Wow, you materialize. Yeah.
Yes, it materialized, and then. Because of that, it gave me a lot of faith and confidence this is the right thing to do.
Yes. Correct. Because the Dhamma is pacetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. It will unfold, it will awaken by itself. Then you will understand, naturally you will understand. Then all these things become very clear to you.
Yes. So Brother Teo, with all this teaching that Brother Teo had taught me, right? So, so after this incident, right, one day I woke up, I said, I'm determined to be heedful in the daily life.
Yeah, that was very important.
Yeah, that's very important. So I because of pandemic, I haven't been doing much exercise. Because of my age, I actually like to do swimming. So for 2 years plus, I never swim. So I went back to swimming. You know, Brother Teo, I'm not a good swimmer, but I can swim.
But this time your swimming become very different.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for 2 plus years, I never swim. So I said I'll go into the swimming pool. This time I just swim the width, not the length. Maybe I got no stamina, you know.
Yeah.
So I started doing that.
What happened?
Six weeks ago, I started, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
So the first week, I just swim the width, you know. But
yeah.
Brother Teo, I like swimming because you know why, man? Yeah. It really develops my sati, you know, Brother.
Yeah. And the sati can become very, very refined, very beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
And then you can swim like no need strength. You can go the length and all those things already because it's like not much energy involved, not much work involved, but you know how to develop the understanding. And then when you swim, it becomes very different. Yeah, I was in the swimming pool too after my understanding was there. The way I swim becomes so different. Then I start to understand, no wonder. I just let things be. Then the buoyancy, the body float, then the movement all becomes so simple. It's like meditation. When you understand, swimming becomes like nothing. Then I was so graceful, so aware. Then I can just silence my mind in the water. Last time, I cannot do all those things. I used to share with you, I swim in the river. My mouth has to be above the water one. But after I have the understanding, I can go down. I can do even the breaststroke and all those things, which last time I don't like to swim. I like freestyle. Then I realize I can hold my breath for very long. It's not because I want to hold. I am just in that relaxed state of awareness. That everything I do, the mindfulness is amazing. Then the body is like a fish. Then the way it floats and it moves is so different. That's why it's very beautiful. So now you can go and continue your sharing on what happened when you swim.
So, Brother, so I did the swimming, right? Initially, I was a little bit concerned whether I still can remember how to swim. But anyway, I never forget, Brother. So I swim and swim. Yeah, cannot forget one.
Cannot forget. Once you have mastered the stroke, you won't forget one.
So anyway, I swim. And after like a few times, a few weeks later, right?
Yeah.
My sati is so... I don't know, Brother, whether there is... But I tell you, this is a silent mind. The sati went into... enter into the silent mind, you know?
Yeah.
So when I come out of the swimming pool, right? Then I look up, right? I can see high tall building, what's inside the high tall building.
Because you have that type of, they call it spiritual penetration that actually can go in and see.
I remember
how I gave the sati. I was at home. After my bath, I come down. I got a van, Toyota like this. I suddenly with that sati, I see that car disappear, you know, the van. Then I say, what is this? Then I can see the tree opposite my neighbor, the corner house there. Like the car not there, you know, the van. Then when I just apply the sati, the tree also gone, no. That's why I penetrated form is emptiness, emptiness is form at a deep level. Because my consciousness can actually go beyond form. Then it can see things that people cannot see. But after that, I just let it be. Because these are normal phenomena that will manifest when things happen. So for your case, it's true. The mind will enter that state and you will have the ability. Oh, sadhu to you.
Sadhu. Yeah. So I able to see my Brother Teo. It's like a high rise building more than 30 floors above, you know. I was able to see because I was very relaxed and very silent and
truly aware.
Went into the silent mind and then able to see what is inside there, huh?
Yeah.
That was like, how come I know that? But I realized it was in a silent mind because Brother Teo, everything is quiet.
It's only during those moments. After that, when you come out, you cannot really.
So when I come out already, right, Brother Teo, I look at it, what is that? Huh? There's nothing there. I can't see.
That's why when you are in that mind, that silent mind, that awareness nature, all these things are possible. They call it the sixth penetration and all those things. But those are more towards the specials. They call it the spiritual penetration means it comes as a byproduct. It will happen during that moment only, but after that, don't try to look for it again. Then sometimes you can actually understand many things before it happens. You know it's coming already, and that like there is a sixth sense that understand. Then sometimes it like show it to you that these things are possible. I tested many things during that time when I was in those state of mind. Like I want to understand certain things. I tested it. It really manifests. And sometimes certain thing is very weird one. People cannot understand. The mundane world cannot understand. No, it won't manifest. It will. Somehow it's very, very strange. Very good.
It's not something that we look forward to. It just happened.
It just manifests like that one.
It just happened, you know.
Yeah.
That I know
and
this,
you know, so
it's like,
it's possible.
So it's like I able to see things that I have never seen it before.
Totally
different, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So this swimming, I said, wow, this swimming that I wanted to do so much, and it helped me to strengthen my sati and enter into the silent mind.
Yes. Because this is something where you understand with the sati, you swim differently. And when you are in that state, a lot of things happen. I remember that time I went to the swimming pool. I seldom swim. Like I explained to you earlier, I always reverse down my head above one. And I seldom go for breaststroke and all those things. But then after I understood the sti, everything, I know how to relax and allow it to flow, then everything becomes different. The swimming becomes different. I like to be in the water for very long. So those were the moments. At that time, I was 35 years old, I remember. I used to take my family for like short weekend trips, or we used to stay at hotel, either Penang or certain resort area. Then during the evening or morning, we go for swim. Then this thing happened. This thing happened. Sadhu, rejoice. Very good.
Sadhu. That's about it. So now it's 10:30.
We can stop, Sadhu.
So let us
rejoice. Let us all rejoice with the good sharing by Sister Po Ching today. Sadhu. Sadhu.